We've all had people say to us, well, what did you expect? Usually, that is a refrain that comes when we're at our most disappointed, whether it's around a divorce or a breakup, or if you invested with Bernie Madoff when the returns seemed just too good to be true. Well, what did you expect? When you take a chance and it doesn't work out, very often people will say, what did you expect? When we say that, it's about disillusionment. It's about feeling that life and the world are going to treat you poorly, that life isn't fair, and it's probably going to stay that way. Well, what did you expect? That's how the disciples felt on Easter morning. We thought he was the one. He seemed so connected to God. How could God have let this happen? He had almost convinced us that his way of seeing the world and one another was the right way. And then he was killed. What in the world are we going to do with our lives now? They had to have asked. Are we going to go home and admit to everyone that we were wrong to follow this dreamer? That we were wrong to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us? Are we going to go back to fishing? Fishing in the Sea of Galilee after we've known what it is like to fish for people and bring them to God? What do you expect? Theologian Barbara Brown Taylor imagines what is in Mary Magdalene's heart. Brown writes, "Resurrection, unlike springtime, is entirely unnatural. When a human being goes into the ground, that's it. You say goodbye, you pay your respects, you try to go on with your life as best as you can, knowing that the only place that springtime happens in a cemetery is on the graves, not in them." Brown says that she envisions Mary Magdalene in that garden like an abandoned puppy who lost her master, staying rooted to that last place where she saw him without the least idea of what to do next. What did she expect? Remember, on Ash Wednesday, we marked ourselves with the sign of the cross. We marked ourselves with ash and remembered that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Well, if Ash Wednesday is remembering that we are dust, and to dust we shall return, then Easter is remembering that we are divine and that the world can be different. Remember, you are from divine stock, and life and this world can be different. Well, what do you expect? If our friends and family, when they ask us that, when things are going pretty wrong, or when things turn out the way that they had kind of expected they would all along, if that is what the world tells us, Easter tells us to expect a miracle. And the marks of Easter miracles are three. They're fidelity, forgiveness, and relief from fear. Those are the three things to remember at Easter. fidelity, faithfulness, forgiveness, and the relief from fear. Fidelity. First off, I know that in the next 20 years, you're going to get sick of hearing this from me every single Easter, but this is the most important part of Easter. That God, who wrote the rules of the universe, who is the one who created that rule, that death is the end. When God was killed, God said, I can't let that be the end any longer. And God rewrote the rules in order to come back to be with us because God loves us that powerfully. God said, I am going to change the rules and death is not the end any longer because I love you and I cannot let the world survive with us apart. That is the fidelity piece. God will always, always be faithful to you. The second mark of an Easter miracle is forgiveness. This is interesting because of human failings. Easter trumps our proclivity toward judging and grudges. God came back on Easter Day not just for Peter and Mary, not only for Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King, but for Barack Obama and Donald Trump. Not only for you and for me, but for Pilate and Judas and Herod and Rush Limbaugh and Bashar al-Assad and Pat McCrory, that governor from North Carolina. God came back so that sin does not have the last word, so that all who sin are invited yet again, over and over and over again, into right relationship, into justice. In Easter, we see that God's forgiveness is for all, not just those who have earned it, not just those who deserve it, but for all whom God created. After all, the stories of the Passion show us that when the chips were down, even the disciples folded. If we extrapolate the disciples' Easter experience, we come face to face with a witness that the invitation into Christ's resurrected life is not earned, but is offered wholly and completely freely, sheerly out of love, absolutely, because God does not want to be without you, without us. And then that third mark of Easter miracles is that relief from fear. When Jesus appears to his friends after Easter, after the resurrection, the most common thing that he says is, be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Out of everything that he could have said to us from the beyond the grave, the message that he finds most important for us to absorb into our beings, the things that he hits us over the head with because he says it so often, is be not afraid. In that wonderful African-American spiritual, We Shall Overcome, my favorite verse is the one that says, I am not afraid today. The choir members will join me in letting you know that one of the greatest things is to look out on a congregation and see your faces and how profoundly that verse strikes people. To see the tears, the wonder on your faces, to be able to say, I am not afraid. Today. Gene Robinson was the Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire. Many of you may remember hearing about him because his elevation to being the Episcopal Bishop was very controversial because he was the first out gay man to be elevated to being a bishop in any of the mainline Christian denominations. Robinson tells the story that when he was preparing for his ordination to be Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire, he was getting a lot of death threats. Preparations were being made for ordination security, and he was asked for his blood type so that they would be able to start administering transfusions right away as he was being transported to the hospital if violence would come to be. He remembers saying to his two grown daughters who were worried and anxious about his well-being, "You know, there are worse things than death. Some people never actually live. And that would be the worst death of all. If something does happen, remember that the God who has loved me my whole life will still be loving me, and I will have died doing something that I believe in with my whole heart." As he strapped on his bulletproof vest under his robes just before the service, he says that he remembers feeling blessedly calm. Calm about whatever might happen, not because he was brave, but because God is good and because God has overcome death. And so we never have to be afraid ever again. That is the power of resurrection. Not in what happens after death, but in the knowledge of the resurrection and what that does for our lives before death. We don't have to be worried about how all of this is going to turn out. We know the end of the story. God reigns. Death is vanquished. So then, our project becomes writing the middle chapters and writing them as followers of Christ, as people who are claimed by the living God. When we ask, well, what do you expect? Easter tells us that we need to expect a miracle. If we go back to our lives tomorrow as if nothing has changed, what then will we have really experienced? The way the world used to be, if something troubling got in the way, like a call for racial justice or worker peace or an advocate for full inclusion, the world would just kill it and be done with it. But Jesus is alive, and righteousness and mercy and peace cannot be dismissed with a sword. Jesus lives because we speak truth to power. Jesus lives because we are not afraid. Jesus lives because we forgive, even when it's hard. Easter people tap the experience, the presence, the power, and the principles of the risen Christ to collaborate in the achievement of God's passion. Easter people champion compassion, justice, and nonviolence because we understand that it is through these means that God has saved us, and through these means that God's reign will come. If we can remember that, then there's nothing we can't do. We can move mountains, banish fear, love our enemies, change the way the world works. The only thing we cannot do is hold on to the way that life was. Because as we saw with the butterflies with the children, resurrection promises new life, but that new life is going to look completely different. Kate Matthews Huey is the dean of the Amistad Chapel at the UCC headquarters in Cleveland. She writes, "What do you expect from life? What do you dare to hope for? When you make plans and dream dreams, what do you expect to see? Easter invites us to lead our lives grounded in fidelity and forgiveness of God. There is nothing that you can do, nothing that you have done or that you can do, that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing to fear, because the end of the story is already written. You belong to God then, too. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.